And now another economic indicator.
Yeah, a slice of the economy, really. We're talking lobster. The prices hit a 25-year low. It's so bad, some lobstermen are docking their boats at a time when lobster catches are actually better than ever. Tough times, you can hear in Jay Gustafaro's, in his voice, a lobsterman in Massachusetts.
The threshold is probably around the $3 range, really. If you catch 100 pounds of lobsters at $3 a pound, that's expenses.
So he's cutting even. Trevor Corson is the author of The Secret Lives of Lobsters and The Story of Sushi. He joins us here in the studio, and you are actually also a lobsterman for 2 years.
That's right.
So what are the main obstacles here?
It's kind of funny. When you're talking about this as an economic indicator, in a way, the lobster fishery is, you know, when you have all these banks and mortgage lenders and everything undercapitalized, the lobster fishery is overcapitalized right now. They're actually a victim of their success right now because they have done such a good job conserving the lobster resource and fishing sustainably and taking care of the foundation of their business for the past 15, 20 years that they've seen the catches going up and up and up. And now there's so much supply that, you know, a slight dip in demand like we're seeing now with this recession kicking in, suddenly they've got so much lobster they don't know what to do with it all.
And it's still a luxury. I mean, people think of it as a luxury, so they feel like they're splurging even if lobster doesn't cost that much.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because lobster 100 years ago was junk food, you know, like no one would eat it because they were these underwater bugs, right? And its status, you know, has just skyrocketed over the past century into this luxury item. And, you know, the lobstermen, when I was working on fishing boats in the mid-90s in Maine, you know, the catches were extraordinarily high. They'd never been like that before. And part of it was that, like I said, they had a very healthy resource. And so they could afford to be catching all those lobsters. The thing was that they were really, even in those days, they were catching more lobsters than there was really demand for, even in the 90s, you know, even when we were all feeling a lot flusher.
Well, then how did the fishermen continue to make money then?
Exactly. So that's where this financial crisis has given the lobstermen a little extra, you know, knife in the back right now, because what they were doing was the excess lobster, they were shipping up to Canada to these processing plants that used to process codfish and other stuff. And with those species, you know, decimated from overfishing, they had all this extra processing capacity, and the lobsters were going there. And that's, you know, where you were getting all this frozen lobster tail meat and stuff that was processed and then sent out to chains like Red Lobster. And, you know, when you see a lobster linguine special at a mid-level restaurant,
right,
that's where it's coming from. And the thing that happened in the past month was that those Canadian processors had their finances, their short-term loan stuff tied up with all these Icelandic banks that have had all this trouble. So they've just been wiped off the map all of a sudden. So
they can't get loans.
Right. Yeah. And so the lobsters are coming home to roost, so to speak. Suddenly the fishermen in Maine and in New England are faced with the fact that actually they've been getting a free ride on all this extra supply for the past 10, 15 years. And now they're going to have to realize maybe the market can't support all that. And they need to think about maybe fishing less, continuing to have a higher quality product, but, you know, not so much of it.
Well, it's interesting just to see how it ripples through the economy, and that, you know, something that happens in Iceland financially is going to end up on your plate at Olive Garden.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was a crewman on a lobster boat, you know, the father of the guy that I fished with was, you know, this old timer who didn't catch very much, and he piddled along and did very well for himself. And now, you know, they've got huge boats and speedy everything.
Trevor Corson, we're going to ask you to stick around for a minute. Trevor Corson is the author of The Secret Lives of Lobsters. Good morning. We like to shake things up here at the Takeaway. We're talking about the lobster industry that's taking a big hit in this financial meltdown, as John likes to describe it. And with us is Trevor Corson, who is the author of The Secret Life of Lobsters and also the author of The Story of Sushi. And we're going to be talking about food in this segment, not just the lobster industry. Upcoming holidays. Are lobstermen, are they expecting to take an even greater hit?
Well, it's funny because they are big Christmas boom every year is shipping plane loads of lobsters to Europe, especially to France, where there's this tradition of Christmas Eve lobster dinner. And I suspect they will be taking a big hit because, of course, the Europeans are not doing very well either right now with that. But what's a little bit sad about this situation is that the lobstermen have been plowing a lot of all this money they've been making over the past decade, catching all these extra lobsters into bigger, faster boats, fancier equipment. You know, before the break, I was talking about the old guys who had very simple setup. So, of course, now their fuel costs are higher and everything. And the ones who've foregone some of that and saved up for a rainy day, so to speak, now they're going to do all right. They've been doing very well for the past decade, and the lobster fishery is a real success story. So to the extent that they're going to be hurting, you know, this year and maybe for the next year or two, it's because they're a victim of their own success.
Do they play B-52s on their boats?
You know, every morning, 4 a.m., I get on our boat. Not that song again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.